Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Is it possible also for Christians to misinterpret the Bible? To have a wrong understanding about what a passage means, or to misapply that passage? Certainly that has happened around the world, over and over. You could, in fact, identify entire religions like Judaism or Mormonism, which claim to have the Bible or a big part of it as the foundation, but then you can observe throwing away, at least letting go, the core gospel truth that Jesus is Savior from sin. Followers of such religions fit this description of our text in 2 Corinthians 3, reading 16 through 18. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. When the Apostle Paul wrote that, Jewish people around the Roman Empire, Paul's own countrymen, were avid followers of the Old Testament. It was their Bible, after all, which they used weekly in the synagogue, a very religious people. But for the most part, they did not accept the truth claim that the Old Testament was talking about Jesus of Nazareth, whom they had rejected as the Messiah. Instead, they turned the Old Testament Bible into a system of doing certain things, living a certain kind of life, so as to stay on God's good side as his people. Can you recognize a religious system that is doomed to fail? I don't bring this up to make us feel better about ourselves in comparison to Jewish people, past or present. In fact, their example is a really good picture of our own human nature, its tendencies, how our sinful flesh is thinking about these things, even now. The reason why you, all of you, know and accept the truth about Christ is because God made it happen. Or as Paul put it, God took the veil away that was covering your heart. He did that when he gave you your faith in Christ. This God-given faith that you have also becomes a key that God uses to unlock the Bible's meaning and give us all direct access to all of its truth, including good news about promises and blessings, all wrapped up in that spectacular, timeless fact that Jesus is your loving Lord and your Savior God. I think of it as the tip of the iceberg, where beneath the surface, the core fact settles other issues. For example, a question will pop up. It's a nagging one. It's a troubling one. The question is, and I believe we've heard it yesterday, will God forgive all of my sins, all of your sins, including the awful ones, the often ones, the sins we struggle with since we do struggle with sin? Satan wants you to think no, or maybe not. God wants you to hear the answer, yes. Yes, he forgives because of Christ. Sometimes people, out of curiosity, come with this question. Hey, what's the Bible about anyway? Why was it written? We have an answer for them. That answer is Jesus, who is more than the great hinge between the Old and the New Testaments. He exclusively is the Savior for all people, Jews and Gentiles, believers like us and unbelievers, people that we know personally who need to hear the gospel. Let's keep going with one more question I have for students. Why are you at this school? I suppose there's more than one reason for that, but isn't the best answer going to be Jesus? An answer that you could give to friends back home when they want to know, hey, why do you go to high school in Eau Claire rather than here at home? As we heard in yesterday's chapel, the answer of Jesus is for other people too. Not just the Christian friend who needs comfort, but also the unchurched person in need of God's truth. Of course, when I say this phrase, the answer is Jesus. Christ is the key. It's more than using a name. Jesus is more than a word you plug into a prayer or read from a passage. He's a person, after all. And not just a powerful person from the past. Not just a great man who did great things. He's the Lord God who created all things. And on a personal level, for all of you, he's the perfect substitute who kept every commandment in your place. And that accomplishment of his back then is your righteousness now. He's the perfect sacrifice on the cross who paid for every one of your sins. And that accomplishment back then is your forgiveness now. Incredible. He's also the triumphant Lord over death who will come back to give us the same victory over death as promised on the last day. In the meantime, he is with you at all times. He blesses you in more ways than you realize. He fights for you, especially against the devil. He sends the Holy Spirit into your heart. He sends angels at your side. He lobbies God the Father on your behalf, causing all of your prayers to be answered for your good. He will lead you and me through his word, this ancient book of books that stands on its own as the reliable truth from God and life-giving, life-saving light in Christ. Through him, the Savior, through it, the gospel about the Savior, the veil is gone. We have the key from God, the key to know God by faith in his Son and live with him now and forever in Christ Jesus. In his saving name we expect it, because he has made it happen and has promised it to us. Amen. We'll close today with hymn 360, the first three stanzas of hymn 360, first three stanzas.